Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. Boston City Councilor Andrea Campbell is running for mayor. After hinting at the decision last week, Councilor Campbell, whose district includes parts of Dorchester, Mattapan, Roslindale, and Jamaica Plain, made the decision official in a video released this morning. She's out on the campaign trail today, but joins us now on the phone. Councilor Campbell, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Thank you, and thank you for having me.
So you have a powerful life story, and you made it front and center in your announcement. Mayor Walsh has made his biography a key point in his campaigns. Michelle Wu is doing so now. How important is who you are in this race, and why do you think your life path makes you the right fit as Boston's next mayor?
I think it's extremely important. You know, when I first ran for office, I talked about losing my twin brother, Andre, who passed away at the age of 29 while in the custody of the Department of Correction, which oversees our prisons here in Massachusetts. He had scleroderma and, as a result of receiving inadequate health care, passed away. And I asked one question, which is, how did two twins born and raised in the city of Boston have such different life outcomes? That was the question that fueled my run for council in the first place. It continues to inform the work. But I also know it was a story that that many folks could relate to, that inspired many. And being born and raised in the city of Boston and a product of Boston Public Schools, I find that when I continue to share more pieces of my story, it inspires others to do the same. And so now I look forward to running for mayor, not only to share a story, of course, to listen to others share theirs, but to work on dismantling systems that perpetuate inequities in the city of Boston.
You know, that calls to mind last night after a grand jury in Kentucky didn't charge any officers with killing Breonna Taylor in her apartment. You tweeted out, quote, "I don't want to hear Boston is better than that," end quote. What do you want to hear and what do you want to see?
So I love the city of Boston and I take tremendous pride in being born and raised here. My father was also born and raised in the city of Boston. It is where I've received every opportunity that you can imagine, a good education, after-school program, jobs, you name it, to be successful. But I also have had a lot of pain here. And I also know that Boston, unfortunately, is considered one of the most profoundly unequal cities in this country. And so I think this is a unique opportunity for us to look at our own painful history with respect to racism and division, to confront it head-on as a city, and to do it together, and also, of course, to eradicate inequities so that every person in the city of Boston feels as though the city is working for them, too.
What is something that Boston's mayor could do right now to start eradicating those inequities?
Oh, there's so much. I mean, when I first, you know, got to the council, I focused on criminal justice reform and reentry programming. I focused on improving access to our education system and improving or expanding the number of quality schools in the city of Boston, put out action plans on that, expanding diversity with respect to public safety agencies, looking at every single issue in the city of Boston through a racial equity lens, got funding to bring the city council through that when I was council president. So there's so much, but I think much of what I tend to see in constituents as well is plans for rhetoric, but not enough action. And we need action immediately to dismantle systems that continue to create inequities in healthcare, in education, access to green space, good housing, good jobs, and so much more.
So the Boston Police Reform Task Force is recommending a variety of changes to the city's police force, including creation of an independent office with broad investigatory and subpoena powers, expanding the use of body cameras. Mayor Walsh created that task force this summer, and he said he's committed to taking action on their recommendations. Would you do the same?
Absolutely. I have applauded the work of all who served on the task force. They've done excellent work, and they do excellent work in the community. For me, though, the recommendations are a start, but need to go farther. And so I have been pushing, of course, for the adoption of a civilian review board. But folks before me, including my predecessor, Councilor Yancey, and so many others, have been pushing for that for decades. Folks have been pushing for us to diversify our public safety agencies, bring in more women and people of color for decades. Folks have been pushing us to look at the inequities within our policing, the fact that we just got the stop and frisk data that says, you know, over 70% of police stops were Black residents, even though they only make up a quarter of the population of the city of Boston. So So there's a lot more that we can do. It's great that he has a task force, but I've been encouraging him not only to adopt their recommendations, but he has to, of course, take action. We've seen a lot of reports in the past. We need action.
So let's stay with Mayor Walsh for a minute. He hasn't said whether he's going to run again or not. It is true he has received high marks for his handling of the coronavirus pandemic. I want to ask you, do you feel that Marty Walsh has handled the pandemic well?
I first of all, I want to say, you know, I know the mayor loves the city of Boston just as much as I do. We have been very intentional in working in partnership, especially when it comes to the pandemic, the council working in partnership with the administration and vice versa. This pandemic is new for all of us. I think the part that is missing or often lost in the conversation is how communities of color are doing. They are disproportionately being hit by this pandemic in ways that are unimaginable, dying at higher rates. The infection rates are higher in communities of color all across the city of Boston. I represent a district that is predominantly a district of color. And so there needs to be greater intentionality with respect to those communities of color in every conversation with respect to the pandemic. And that's what I've been pushing.
What's one thing the city could or should have had done differently in these first several months of the pandemic to better support communities of color?
Well, I will tell you, you know, there are coalitions across the city of Boston, including the Black Boston Coalition run by Priscilla Flint Banks, that have been pushing for communities of color to have greater access to testing and rapid testing. You know, we have folks still who are going to get tested and only are getting their results back after several days or over a week, which is way too long. This coalition is also pushing for us to not only have an equity lens so that we understand that everything we roll out with respect to the pandemic across the city of Boston, that we might have to have greater intentionality in communities of color because of the longstanding health disparities in those communities, which are being exacerbated by this pandemic. And so we just have to be much more intentional with respect to testing, resources, and so much more. I think we're doing better now, but it was slow to start with.
Last question, in a sentence, it's hard to unseat an incumbent mayor in Boston. Why do you think now is the time?
Well, I will tell you, you know, I ran for office the first time and I challenged an incumbent, and not to suggest that he wasn't doing a great job. We just came with different perspectives and a different story. In this race for mayor, I'm going to bring a different story and different perspective, and I'm looking forward to building a grassroots campaign and introducing myself to voters all across the city of Boston.
That is Boston City Councilor Andrea Campbell. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
It was good to have you. Listening into that conversation was Boston Globe columnist Adrian Walker. Adrian, welcome back.
Hey, how are you? Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you, Adrian, and I'll just ask you to start with your reactions to what we just heard from Andrea Campbell.
I think she laid out, you know, kind of what this campaign is going to be about. And especially the way it's going to be shaped by the whole issue of coronavirus, which has, you know, put every inequality front and center. So we're going to, you know, whether we're talking about health care, schools, or a host of other issues. So that's what we're going to be hearing a lot about over the next year.
Any reason to think that Marty Walsh won't run again? You wrote back in May, quote, make no mistake, Walsh fully intends to run again, but he hasn't declared.
I firmly believe he's running. I don't think it means anything that he hasn't, quote unquote, declared. I don't think he's waiting on a job in the Biden administration. I don't think that's true. I would bet serious money that the mayor will be on the ballot next September.
So if that's the case, now we have a possibility that you've got a race with Andrea Campbell and Michelle Wu, who might strip support from each other's candidacies. Two progressive challengers, women of color, and they're running against a popular, well-financed incumbent with the incumbent history we know Boston has. Now, it might not necessarily play out that way, but it could. Do you think they might hurt each other's chances, that the two of them in the race and maybe others strengthen Marty Walsh's chances of winning again?
I mean, I think you got to remember the structure of the race, which is that it's not a sort of a partisan primary where they will hurt each other. One of them will end up probably in a final against the mayor, right? Because it's highly unlikely that he'll finish third. So, you know, I think chances are, I think the idea is that one of them will get a chance to run against him one-on-one, and we'll see what happens.
You know, it seems like there is a lot of energy in this mayor's race to me. It actually feels a little more like when the seat was open than when Councillor Tito Jackson challenged Walsh. Does the energy feel higher to you, too? And if so, why do you think that is?
Yeah, it feels higher, and it feels higher because we're in the middle of so much. You know, we're in the middle of a huge social justice movement and a pandemic. You know, there wasn't anything like that when Councillor Jackson was running against Mayor Walsh. So certainly we're in a much more intense political period.
Adrian, in that column back in May that you wrote that I mentioned, you were talking about how hard it might be to challenge Marty Walsh because of his high marks on the handling of the coronavirus pandemic. A lot has happened since May, including the racial reckoning you mentioned. Would you make the same argument today?
Yes, I would make the same. But look, the history is serious here, okay? Amir hasn't lost in 70 years, and it's not an accident. He's got more money than they will raise put together already. He's got obviously 100% name recognition, and he's a popular mayor. I mean, they are formidable candidates, and I'm not taking anything away from them. But we shouldn't underestimate how difficult this race will be for them.
So let's stay with the formidable candidates. What's the strongest case for each challenger, Wu and Campbell, about why they should be mayor?
Councillor Wu has spent years positioning herself as the voice of the left in the city, and you know, her strongest argument will be that she would be the greatest break from the status quo, and that she is the true voice of change. I think Councillor Campbell will run based on her strong work in education, her biography in the city, and also on the issue of police reform. But I think in relative terms, she is the more moderate of the two candidates. So in a sense, you know, she is sort of the candidate in between Walsh and Wu.
And what do you think Walsh's best case for why he stays in office is at this point?
Walsh's best case for why he stays in office is that he has had two fairly successful terms as mayor. I think people think that he has guided the city through the virus very effectively. I think that's probably been his strongest moment as mayor. And I think his strongest argument will be that there isn't a strong case for change at this point.
So, Adrian, I am struck by how much has changed in this city in this last couple of years, this incredibly diverse city council that we have now. Two women of color from that city council challenging a white incumbent mayor in a time of national reckoning on race. I wonder, one, is this the cycle where maybe Boston elects a mayor who's not a white man? And either way, what does this moment that we're seeing in this race tell you about how the city is changing?
Well, we're going to see how much it tells us about how much the city has changed. And certainly, we're in a moment of great change. And as you say, you can point to the council to see that. So, it's certainly going to be a different race than the race between Walsh and Tito Jackson 4 years ago. But we should remember that Jackson ran on many of the same ideas that Wu and Campbell are running on and lost 2-1. So it'll be interesting to see just how much has changed. The one thing that has not changed dramatically is the electorate, you know, or the makeup of the electorate. You know, in order for one of them to beat Mayor Walsh, what they're going to have to do is really expand the people who vote. It's going to take a bigger turnout and a much bigger turnout among people of color. And we'll see if either of these candidates can inspire that.
And what are you watching for in the next couple of weeks or months? Anything you particularly are looking for?
I don't think we're going to see a ton in the next couple of months, which is largely going to be a time for them to get organized and to begin their fundraising and so forth. And, of course, for the mayor to decide whether he's wanting it to officially get in. So the next couple of months will be dominated, unfortunately, by presidential politics. But I think this race will get really interesting right after the first of the year.
Well, that is Boston Globe columnist Adrian Walker. Adrian, thanks for joining us.
Thanks very much.